I want to talk to you in this session about the commitment that leaders need to have. If we're called to leadership, we're called to lead a house church, then we need to understand the word commitment. And, we read about this throughout the scripture. We see the commitment that Jesus had to the vision that God had given him. We see the commitment that Paul had, for example, you know, to the commitment that, to the call that God had given to him. And, I love the way Paul says it when he writes to the Galatians, and he talks about, you know, his focus in God and all that God has given him. And as a house church leader, there are certain areas of commitment I want to look at with you just for a moment, and we want to look at this together. But I'd like to read this scripture from Philippians, and just gives a little sense of Paul's commitment, first of all, to know Christ. And he says it like this. He says in Philippians chapter 3, because this is the greatest commitment of all, our commitment to Jesus, commitment to the Lord. And he says this. He says in verse 7, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, any good thing I could ever do, anything I've learned, any training I've received through the Sanhedrin, whatever, he said, it's lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And as leaders in house churches, the house church is secondary. I mean, what is most important is it's all about Jesus. I remember when I had to repent, because I'd wake up in the morning thinking, first thing I think of was, how can we see more house churches start? How can we see the kingdom of God grow? And I realized what I needed to be thinking about was, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you're amazing. And it was my love relationship with him. I had to repent because it had become idolatry. Even the whole vision of starting house churches had become idolatry, because it wasn't about starting house churches, as important as that was. It was about my relationship with Jesus. And Paul here is saying basically the same thing. He said this. He said, I consider these things rubbish, garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship and sharing in the sufferings. He's becoming like him in death. And he says, so somehow I can attain the resurrection of the dead. And then he says, not that I've already obtained all this or have been made perfect, but I press on. There's the commitment. We're called regardless of what happens. And whether your house church is the best experience in the world or if it's a real test and you're learning things through the whole process. But what we need to understand is that we press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me, he says, took hold of us. And he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God's called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Then he says, I love this. He says, all of us who are mature should take such a view. Think like I'm thinking, Paul says. Then he says, and if in some point you think differently, in other words, you think, well, I'm not sure, am I really hearing God clearly on this? If you think differently, that truth God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. You know, the Bible's filled with revelation, not only about house church ministry, but how to live eternity, all the riches of God in this book. But the reality is, some we don't understand it all. But let's just fulfill what we know. And when it comes to starting house churches, multiplying house churches, seeing moves of God, seeing the kingdom of God advance in your country, in your nation, in your village, let's just start with where we're at. And you know, if you're missing something, don't worry about it. God will show you. God will make it clear. I love Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. There's some things that are secretive. We may not understand, but God says that I'm going to reveal things to you. And I found for me, I just need to walk in the revelation of what God has revealed to me. If I can walk in revelation which revealed, God will take care of all the rest. Now, let's talk more about this commitment. Commitment to Jesus, first of all, that's what we're talking about. Commitment to his vision for our life, and your commitment to the whole body of Christ. You know, it's not just about our house church. It's about his kingdom. It's about advancement of the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he'll add all these things unto us. It's all about the king and his domain. And some of that is expressed through house church ministry. So we need to understand that we need to be committed to him and to his vision, to his kingdom. Secondly, we need to have a vision. Every house church needs a vision. And we need to be committed to that vision that he's given us, or whatever that looks like. So if you have a house church that's on a college campus, it'll look different than a house church that's with a group of older folks. If you have a house church that you're raising up with mostly children, it's going to look different than a house church in a school. So whatever your house church looks like, your micro church or organic church looks like, we just make sure that we have a commitment to fulfill the vision that God has given us. And then go back and on a regular basis, 6 months, a year, say, God, what do you say now? How can, is this changing? And it's okay. It can change. You say, Larry, what if I go down the wrong street? It's okay. God will simply, I'm convinced it's harder to get out of the will of God than we think. You know, Psalm 23, the good shepherd, Jesus is the good shepherd. And what does he say? His rod, and he guides us, his staff, they guide us. And God, if we get out of the way a little bit, God will guide us back. And you can trust him to do that. I believe not only are we committed to the vision he gives us, but then we need to set goals. Have a dream, you have a vision, you need goals within the vision. And of course, the scripture says, Philippians 3:14, I'll read it again. I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 9:26. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly, but I do not fight like a man beating the air. And 1 Corinthians 9:26. So we need some goal. That's why let's trust God to see someone come to Christ. Let's trust God to see some new families and new people become part of our house church. Let's trust God to see how we can change our community for the glory of God. We want to see redemption in our community. I mean, 3 weeks ago, I was in Western Kenya because a friend of mine, his name is Hesmond Odindo, 11 years ago, got a word from heaven, a word from God. God spoke to at a conference that we were leading in the USA, in the state of Maryland. And while he's there, the Lord spoke to him and said, I've called you back to your village. He was living, had a great job. He was living in Nairobi, Kenya, making great money, nice house, the whole deal. And God said, I've called you back to your village. He grew up in a village of 10,000 people. It's called Kadawa Village. And he was told by some American doctors the year before that within 10 years, that entire village will probably be extinct because of AIDS, HIV, and because of cholera, because of all the problems in the community. And so he went back and started a little house fellowship in his mother's home and led a few people to Christ. He came back once a month. Then he finally moved his family back after he moved his whole family back. And more people came to Christ. And I remember one of the first times I went there, and God was just changing the whole community. I mean, it was a mosquito-infested swamp. And I saw that it started to change. There's now where the swamp was, there's a banana plantation. And they were getting clean water. And they were praying for people, and people were being healed. All these people were coming to Christ. And I went there, I remember there's 600 or 800 people ready to come to Christ in all these house fellowships. And they'd all meet together and celebrate and worship God. And I remember after I preached one Sunday when I was there, I remember this man came to me. He said, I'm like the mayor of the town in charge of the police. I want you to know that since this man, your friend Hesmond, came here, brought Jesus here, everything's changed. He said, we've had so many rapes and problems in our community, but the police have almost nothing to do because things have changed. Well, I was back there just a few weeks ago. Now they've reached more than 2,000 people in that whole area. They started 10 churches, and they have a Christian school, and the whole place looks different. There are widows being taken care of and orphans taken care of. There has been no one who died of cholera for more than 5 years. People have been healed of AIDS. Very few people who are now dying prematurely. The whole area changed. It was an area of transformation because he had a commitment to follow the heavenly vision God gave him. What's the heavenly vision that God's giving to you? And whatever that is, we need to be willing to be committed to the goals that it takes. He had certain goals. He was going to start some house fellowships. He did that. Then the goal, he's going to move his family. He did that. He's going to work with an orphanage. He did that. He's going to train leaders. He's trained all these leaders of all these house fellowships and even larger groups in that area. Now, we're seeing amazing things happen for the glory of God. So these areas of commitment, we need to understand leadership requires commitment. There's commitment, obviously, to the group that we're serving. And we encourage people in house fellowship to express a commitment. I know churches have membership roles and all those things. And that's between you and God, how you want to do that in the house fellowship. I don't personally see a need for that, but I believe there's a desperate need for commitment. And so we came up with just a little card. And on the card, and it's in your text, on the card, we have this commitment. I'm going to read it to you. It's very simple. And we encourage people on a regular basis, yearly, every other year, however often they want to do it, to express their commitment to others in the house church or in the house fellowship. It goes like this. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. I'm therefore committed to living in obedience to the Word of God, in obedience to the Holy Spirit, and to being part of the church that Jesus is building throughout the world. In other words, we're part of His whole kingdom, not just this one house fellowship. I specifically commit myself to the body of Christ, in this case, to a Dove, it would be a Dove church, because that's the family church I'm involved in. I'll be accountable to my brothers and sisters in the way I live my Christian life, and I'll support the leadership that God raises up, and I'll support the vision that God gives to His body. And you know, you make that commitment, and people say, yes, I'm willing to be corrected. I'm willing to stand together. I'm willing to be committed to this part of the body of Christ. Now, people say, what is it? What do you really need to have a local church? What's the lowest common denominator? You know, many people say, house church is not a real church. I mean, people, they have this vibrant house church. It grows to 40, 50, 60 people, packed them in a house. God's there. It's awesome. And then one day, they go and get a building. And they get the building, and they say, wow, now we got a building. Now we have a real church. No, you had the real church. I mean, that's the church too, but you have the real church. And the bottom line is, God's called us to be, have the sense of commitment to understand what is a local church. Here's what I think. This is just my take on it. I stand to be corrected on this. I believe when there's a group of people, two or three gather in His name, people come together, here's what you need for a local church. Each person has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is not some club. These are people whose lives are transformed by Jesus. Secondly, each person has a relationship with others in their local church, in their local house church. Number three, there's clear leadership recognized among the people. There must be some kind of leadership. It's not just a group of people coming together, singing songs, and saying, well, we're just having fun. No, no. There's a vision, and there's leadership. And number four is there must be a corporate vision. There must be a common vision among them all together. And the Scripture says it like this. Sometimes there's a fear of leadership. There's a desperate need for leadership, but it's servant leadership. It's compassionate leadership. It's loving leadership. But it's leadership. It's leadership where we're called to serve the people of God. And the Scripture says it like this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 and 13. Now we ask you, brothers, respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work, and live in peace with one another. So he says, yes, we need to respect our leaders. I have leaders in my life. I am privileged to lead a team of international leaders who lead an international movement globally. I'm privileged to do that. But I have fathers in the Lord, people in my life, older and wiser than I am, who are even outside of our movement. Our whole movement knows who they are. All of our leaders know. And there's this, I tell people all the time, you know, if there are no popes in the kingdom of God, I know there's the Roman Catholic Pope, and I love him dearly, but I want you to know that in the Bible, we don't see anyone who's the final authority. It's Jesus who is the final authority. And knowing that, understanding that, we need to have those in our lives who can speak into our lives, and that's, I believe, for all of us. And you know, the Scripture speaks such in high regards about unity. You know, God commands blessing when people live in unity. I believe we must be committed to unity in the body of Christ. We need to speak that in our house fellowships. We need to let the people of God know that whom we serve with, that we are standing in unity with the rest of the body of Christ. That is a part of our commitment. It's to Jesus. It's to His kingdom. It's to walking together in unity so God can command a blessing. It's to the vision that He's given us. It's to the goals we set to get to where God's called us to go, to where our dream would go. And I think the last thing I would say in this session is this. I believe there's a commitment the leaders have to help the people of God within our care fulfill the dreams that God's given them. Just recently, a few years ago, I was in a hospital room with a leader whom I love dearly. And he was dying, and he passed on to be with Jesus about a month later. And the last time I saw him alive, this is what he said to me. He said, Larry, I've learned through my life in ministry and leadership that God places dreams in people's hearts. And what God's called us to do as leaders is draw those dreams out. And he said, whatever days I have, and he didn't know, he only had maybe a few weeks to go before he went to be with Jesus. He says, I want to help people draw those dreams out. And you know, that's the call of God in my life, the call of God in your life. And it can happen in a house fellowship because it's relational. Because if there are six people in your house fellowship, and here they are, six people, you're relational, you know one another. See, what's the dream in your heart? I love to ask this question. If you could do anything you're called to do, what would you like to do 10 years down the road? And perhaps You can pray with them and help them take steps to get there, because we are living stones built together into a spiritual house, all dreaming the dreams of God, and then helping one another fulfill those dreams. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would have grace in your life to fulfill the dream that God's given you, and then grace to help others whom you serve to fulfill the God-given dreams that they have, that so that Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified through your life, through our lives, and through His kingdom as we prepare for His coming in Jesus' name. Amen.